Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Finding Your Realm. I'm your host, Jamila Pipersburg, and today we have the honor of having Mark Nelson from Fellow One Research to have a conversation about body types. I know that that's not the usual flow of like our self-care episode, but as we're building up this new season, we wanted to have conversations with people on topics that somewhere hover around all of us. We're all thinking about it. It's already the new year. And we're thinking about, you know, how are we going to better treat our bodies? How are we going to better serve ourselves? How do we see ourselves, right? What our body image outlook is from within. And I think Mark here has done extensive amounts of research, and he has a lot to share with us about how to reimagine body types. Mark, before we dive in, I want to create a platform for people to think about, you know, body types and different shapes and sizes. And then I want to hand the floor over to you because I think you have so much more to share than I can. Okay, so just to set a baseline for us, right? So body type can be influenced in many ways, right? We think of ourselves of how we look. We perceive ourselves a certain way. We look at other people's bodies and we think, oh, he or she is of a specific frame or composition. Sometimes we tell ourselves that, oh, I have a curvier body type, or I have broader shoulders, and that's why my body's a certain way. I am male or female, and that's why my body's composed a certain way. We create an entire framework of understanding. And sometimes you find out with time and more research that that framework might be wrong. And I think today's conversation hopefully will help you better understand your body type, maybe release some of that stress and anxiety you've had about what your body type is and what that means. And hopefully it'll put you on a path to better understand how you can maybe shift away from certain ideas about like BMI, or shift away from certain ideas about your exact body type. I've heard people say, oh, I'm a mesomorph body type. But what does that really mean? How does that serve you? I've heard other people say, I'm a triangle body type, and I'm an hourglass body type. What does that mean? And how does it serve you? And how you can maybe healthily gain weight or lose weight by taking just better care of yourself, by having that knowledge about body type. And last but not least, before I hand it over, I just want to make a little side note. Tonight, we might refer to sex and gender. We understand that it is, it exists on a spectrum. It's a wide array, and we don't want to minimize anyone else's experience or existence. Tonight, we might use the terms like male or female, and we both understand that, you know, sex is sometimes assigned at birth. We do not want to offend anyone, and we want to be as inclusive as possible. So please bear with us, and if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can always drop them in our reviews. You can always email the both of us afterward. But today, I want to hand over now the floor to Mark Nelson, who is an expert and a researcher, and I think he has a lot of really cool information to share. So, Mark, if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for having me. I have been doing this research now since 2003, and it's affected me my entire life. So, and really, I've been doing this research my entire life, but started in 2003 professionally. You mentioned it early on, the somatotype body types are the body types that most people reference, the mesomorph, ectomorph, and endomorph. But those are nonsense body types. They aren't based on any science. They never were. And they were debunked long ago. And yet, because there were no other body type options out there, people grabbed on to the somatotypes as if they were real. And now, 9 out of every 10 people that we speak to, that's the body type that they reference, right? And it's a tough thing to overcome because, again, they aren't real. They aren't based on science. There's no way to really define any of those body types. You can find these really loose definitions up online, which, you know, when we're talking about science, we're talking about understanding things so that we can define them. So your thoughts earlier on the gender spectrum is right on, right? We have male, we have female, we have folks who are in the middle and what we call gender neutral or, you know, whatever other, you know, very term that is appropriate. We're talking about a spectrum here. And the same applies to science in general when we're trying to define things and understand things. And that does not mean that science gets it right the first time or even the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth time, but we're evolving and we're working towards better understanding what does it mean to be a human being, right? And all the things that come with being a human being. And one of those things is the human body. And we know that there are many different shapes out there. What we don't really understand, at least until our research started, our body type science research, is why? Why are there all these different human body shapes when you or any other human being, all of us, go and see our doctor, we're all being judged by one body type standard right now. The only body type standard that is accepted by mainstream science and medical doctors is that image that you see in any scientifically approved human body anatomy book, right? And it's that image with all the muscles and muscle mass fully developed. It's this thin person, right? Like the ideal human body type. The problem is that not all of us are that body type. I most certainly was not born in that body type, yet I've been held to that standard my entire life, right? And I'm sure that you have, and everyone else has been held to that standard, even though not all of us are that standard body type one. There are other body types. So our body type science looks at understanding why. Why are there all these different scientific body types? What does that mean? How does it affect our health, et cetera?
So with that said, I think there hasn't been, I think, one doctor's office visit I've ever had where there isn't the conversation of, oh, what is your BMI and what is all these terms? And then you learn as you get older that some of it is absolutely, like, it's all nonsense. You know, I know people, who are fit. They work out maybe, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, but they might not look, to your point, like that's archetypical, like perfect human form and shape. It doesn't mean that they're out of shape. It doesn't mean that they're even overweight. It's just that they're not that image. And I think it's really hard to then untrain yourself and untrain the mind to think and know that I don't look that way, but I'm still healthy. I'm still strong. I'm still doing really well.
Right. So this is why standards are important. So let me be clear up front, 100% in agreement that things like the body type 1, the BMI, and the BMR are not accurate standards. However, they are the standards that we have right now. We don't just abandon standards because they aren't accurate. We figure out why they're not accurate, and then we make them more accurate. So our goal here at Fellow One Research is to understand why those standards are not accurate and to make them more accurate so that you and I and everyone else who is not a body type 1, we aren't held to these impossible standards that we will never meet. Right, our genetics will never allow us to meet these body type 1 standards that you see out in the media, up on social media, all these places where the body type 1 is it's coveted, it is the standard, it is what everyone is trying to achieve to. The problem is that if you're someone like me who was born a body type 4, my body type would never, ever be able to achieve those body type 1 standards. Yet I'm being held to those standards, which is completely unfair. And so just one more thing in our world that's unfair. I'm sure that you as a Black person can speak about unfairness relative to simply race in this country. And that's a whole other conversation. But unfairness is something that we hear some people say, well, nobody said that life is fair. Well, you know why life isn't fair is because we have a bunch of folks out there who keep saying, well, no one ever said that life was fair, and they do nothing about it. When if we would work our way towards a world that is more fair, it would actually be more fair. And so whether it's race, whether it's gender, whether it's body type, what we're looking for is fairness. Because if you're someone like me, if you're someone like you who was born in a body type that isn't a body type one, I'm being held to these standards that I can never meet. And it makes me feel bad. It affects my mental health. It affects my health in general because I'm being held to these standards that are not accurate, yada, yada. So I'll sort of pause here and see if I'm making sense.
No, you're making a lot of sense. I think my concern always is if we're not in the archetypical, like body type one, then how can we actually help ourselves achieve wellness? You know, a lot of the conversations we've had in the podcast in the past have been about, you know, self-care wellness, but how to get there naturally on your own without the need of like too many supplements, drugs, additives, whatever it might be. But, you know, and I think my concern is if you're not body type one, you're using metrics that aren't exactly designed to consider a body type like yours or mine. How can we do, how can we achieve the goal, which is not being skinny or being, you know, very thin, just being healthy. At the same par and parity as someone who might actually be in body type one and doing so naturally.
So first we have to understand the body type standards. So we've already talked about the body type one. It does not take into account skinny fat. Again, the human body evolved with fat, right? It has to have fat. It's no different than having a savings account and having money set aside for rough times, right? The human body carries extra fat on it because life is hard. And when you run into times that are more lean, you need that extra fat to lean on so that you can make it through that. And so the human body in general, it has to store fat in places, right? Now, if you're a body type one, maybe it stores it around the organs. Maybe it stores it in other places. If you're someone like me, it stores it all over my body, right? And so understanding the standards is vital to understanding our specific genetic scientific body type. So the body type one, it's not accurate because it doesn't take into account skinny fat. The body mass index, it's not accurate because it doesn't take into account skinny fat. The body mass index also fails to calculate in excess muscle mass. So if you think of somebody like Dwayne Johnson, the Rock, if you were to run his BMI, he likely is either overweight or obese, but we both know, and everyone knows, he most certainly is not overweight or obese. That's just another way that the BMI is not accurate. Then we have the basal metabolic rate. So if I go in and see my doctor and he runs me through the test and says, your BMI is normal. So let's take a look at your basal metabolic rate, which is the number of calories daily that your specific body requires to just do its basic functioning. And they calculate that out via the Mifflin St. Gior or the Harris Benedict activity BMR calculations. They're going to give you this BMR number, the number of calories daily that your body needs to actually function. Problem is that the BMR also is not taking into account skinny fat. Why is that important? Because 1 pound of muscle mass burns 6 calories daily. 1 pound of skinny fat or fat only burns 2 to 3 calories daily. So if you have skinny fat on your body, if you're someone like me who was born a body type 4, who has skinny fat all over my body where I should have muscle, I'm burning less calories daily, but I'm being held to the BMR standard, the number of calories daily that I should be following. And my doctor is specifically telling me this is the number, the base number of calories that you need daily so that your body functions. Yet I'm still likely eating too many calories because the BMR, like the BMI and the body type 1, do not take into account skinny fat. Skinny fat is genetic. And if you're one of these lucky few who's a body type 1 and has no skinny fat, good for you. If you're someone like me or you or countless other folks out in the world who's not a body type 1, right, we have skinny fat on our body. What type of skinny fat? We can talk about that here in a bit, but I'll sort of pause here and see if I'm making sense.
I think you're making a lot of sense. I think especially for most people who, to your point, have skinny fat all over their bodies, it at least starts to point to the direction of, okay, well, what am I looking at? And maybe we can be a bit kinder to ourselves when we look in the mirror. It's not about, you know, erasing what you're seeing or changing what you're seeing immediately. It's just about, you know, being a little bit kinder as you're examining your body and you're looking at where you are. Maybe you want to achieve certain goals, whether it's weight loss or weight gain, but you could be at least the baseline should be kind to oneself. So if you could, if you could, Mark, can you explain a little bit more about skinny fat and like how you define that?
Yeah. So skinny fat is a newer term that's only been around now for a decade or so. And it's just starting to take hold in the scientific and medical circles. So it being a newer term, it's still, if you go in and see your doctor, it's not a term that is common. Most doctors aren't using it. They aren't aware of it. They aren't aware of why it's important and for all the reasons I just mentioned. And so the types of skinny fat are cellulite, thin fat, loose skin, saggy skin, crepey skin, and normal weight obesity. And normal weight obesity can kind of be all those things because you can be within your safe BMI weight range and still be normal weight obese. So obesity is not defined as being overweight. It's defined as having too much fat on your body. And that's a vital difference because, again, if I'm well within my safe BMI weight range and I go and see my doctor right now, he tells me I'm totally healthy and totally normal. He doesn't care about the skinny fat on my body. Doesn't care at all. Hasn't for the last 48 years of my life. Doesn't care, right? The problem with that, again, is that we know that skinny fat has all these effects on body type 1, on BMI and BMR. And if we're not calculating that into things, then we're not getting an accurate standard. A sort of, is that making sense?
Yeah, I think it's making a lot of sense. I wonder, you know, with the plethora of knowledge that's available to us, you know, through the internet, through different research groups, through just the nature of how technology now moves so quickly. Why do you think that maybe doctors and their medical professionals are more hesitant, I use that term, like hesitant to examine these new standards or at least this new terminology and use it within their practices?
Great, great question. Science is a difficult thing, right? And there are these standards that as scientists we are held to, and we can't just, you know, just come up with a hypothesis or a theory and then start to apply it to our patients and, you know, our clients and such, right? So there are these rigid standards that we have to actually meet, and doctors are under the most pressure of all. You know, they carry these heavy-duty malpractice insurance policies because things are rough for doctors. They are expected to know everything. There's no way that they can possibly know everything, right? And if they don't know something, if they get something wrong, then they're sued. Yeah. So doctors are the most hesitant to take on anything new because of those reasons. And it's just a slow process. So as a scientist myself, I understand it. Albeit it is definitely frustrating because even as a patient, when I go in and see the doctor, you know, I feel like I'm not being heard, even though I'm a scientist and I have all this information and knowledge that I can share. Right? They can't just, you know, take information from their patient and say, oh, okay, you must be right, and start using that. They have to follow standards. So changing standards in general relative to science is a very difficult, cumbersome process. And that's one of the main reasons why doctors and scientists in general are so hesitant to take on new information until it's been more vetted.
And I think that's really fair. You know, if we start just accepting new standards, new ways to think about things, and we just immediately, start exposing like customers, clients, patients to these new ways, what happens if something new emerges and you've already told this patient like, hey, this is the only way that you're going to, let's say, lose weight, gain weight, have firmer skin. And then you find out, oh, by the way, that's not true. And then you have to, you know, beyond the last. Yeah.
That's exactly the problem with social media.
Yeah. I think especially now, so many of us, and I'll include myself in the pool. Like, you're on TikTok, you see something, you automatically start diagnosing yourself. Or you automatically start.
True. Yeah.
Automatically. Oh, next time I go to my doctor, I'm going to ask him about some, you know, vitamin testing or whatever it might be. And what if you might just be having a bad day? What if this absolutely does not apply to you? Or worse, it's not real. It's not science.
Right. So, right.
Well, that kind of feeds into my next question. Like, how do you objection handle or combat people who might be reaching out to like you as a researcher, and it's not science. It's just a lot of supposition and really great marketing.
Oh, and that there's nothing more frustrating as a scientist than that, because you want to educate folks, and so I'll send them a full breakdown of all the links and all the science and everything that we know right now, you know, that up on our website, FLO1.com, we do our best to sort of go out and find all this science and bring it down and gather. And then of course we have all of our own biotype science up on the site. And so it's trying to bring it all into a centralized area and making it as layperson friendly as possible so that folks can better understand it. But people are so ingrained in what they think is right. Like again, with the somatotype biotypes or the hormone biotypes or the triangle biotypes or the kibby biotype, all these types of biotypes, none of which have any science behind them whatsoever. They have no real definitions. They're just these arbitrary subjective terms that especially young people just grab onto like they're 100% true and just run with it. And once they've taken that and they've run with it, it's very hard to change their mind. And so that's very, very frustrating. The best that we can do is stick to the science, stick to the data and all the research and all the information that we currently have, analyze it, extrapolate it, and then present it in such a way so that, again, the average layperson can better understand it, and then give them a place, whether it's up on social media, you can go to our website and join the conversation there, and join the conversation. Ask questions, ask why, bring in other points of view. And we are happy, you know, if folks bring us, you know, HiMoz DA links up on Google, you know, or just reputable links or links that, you know, even if they are newer links, because our site would be technically newer, you know, so long as there is data there that is reasonable and it's solid, then share the information, right? So share it and make sure that we're as clear as possible when we present our findings so that, you know, that folks can learn and they can change their minds.
Do you find, how do I ask this question? Are you finding that it's easy to change someone's mind, especially after they've made themselves believe because of social media or some article or a magazine?
That's like, it.
Yeah. Do you think that like the packaging
up on social media
ingrained that belief? Oh, sorry.
No. So that's a great question. And up on social media, it is one of the things that we run across most. It's like, I'll go up there and watch a video and it's some dude talking about how to get rid of skinny fat or how to get rid of cellulite. When one, there is no FDA approved way to get rid of skinny fat in any form, be it cellulite or any other form, right? So anyone who says, I know how to get rid of cellulite is talking nonsense. They're charlatans, right? And so right now we know that there are FDA approved ways to reduce cellulite. There are diet, exercise, and lifestyle options out there that will help reduce cellulite and skinny fat. But there's no way to get rid of those. There is no way to translate or turn skinny fat of any form into muscle. None of these things are currently possible relative to science and realness, because body type is genetic and you can't just casually change your genes and turn skinny fat into muscle, because it's your genetics, it's your DNA. And so educating people about what genetic scientific body type is the key to this, because if they can understand that their body type is genetic, it's my DNA, right? And so I can't just arbitrarily easily change my DNA. So I have to understand my DNA. I have to understand why my body is the shape that it is. Then I need to accept that, because I can't change it right now. The best I can do is manage it. I can manage it with diet, exercise, and lifestyle, and those FDA approved ways to reduce forms of skinny fat. But that's the best that I can really do right now. Now, I'll say this, and then I'll pause and see if I've made sense here. We are working on experimental proprietary exercises here at Fellow One Research that actually do help get rid of skinny fat. But right now they are proprietary and they are experimental. And so I can't really speak further on it, but it's not like science isn't working towards that, right? We are, we're just not there yet. So if you see these videos up on social media and anyone says, I can fix your skinny fat, or I can get rid of your skinny fat or your cellulite, know that it's nonsense, that that's not possible, that the best that you can do is understand your genetic scientific body type, come to terms with it, it is what it is, and then find the best diet, exercise, and lifestyle for your specific body type so that you can manage it as well as possible.
Oh, well, I just want to say thanks for sharing that. I've gone as far as to see recently there was an app that is supposed to help you create a workout plan based on your specific body type. And from there, they were going to know like how they should structure meals, how they should structure like your sleep schedule, what you should be drinking. It's almost like an hour by hour, play by play. And it was, I think the app was going to miraculously help you lose skinny fat, reduce cellulite. you know, it was, you know, your life was going to change, you know, just this a 180 turnaround immediately. And I thought to myself then, yeah, an app's really going to do that? Absolutely not. It still really boils down to, you know, healthy habits, eating well, making sure you're getting enough rest, drinking enough water, and having a healthy lifestyle by incorporating exercise, of course, with a healthy diet. And I come to say, you know, flipping this completely, I know for a fact that on your website, you guys have a quiz, and that quiz is supposed to help you understand your true body type. Can you explain, you know, how the quiz came to be, just for it to get that rolling?
Sure. So our body type science is focused on the four body types. And so as we were figuring this out, because again, I looked at all of the different body types prior to really starting this. And once I understood that there was no real scientific body type, there was no way to understand why my body was the shape that it was, why I had skinny fat all over it, then the next question was, well, then how do I define a scientific body type so that it applies to everyone? Because that's what a scientific standard is, right? It has to apply to everyone equally. And if it can't apply to everyone equally, then it's not really a scientific standard, right? It's biased in some way. And science, by definition, right, avoids bias. Right. It wants to be as fair and as unbiased as possible, because that's really what you're doing, is you're shaking down the actual data to a point where it evenly applies to everyone. Now, I'm sure that we can find some rare examples as to how that's not true, because that's how life works. There's always some rare example. But in general, that's the truth of science, is we're trying to find the simplest solutions that apply to everyone equally. So that was our goal with the body type science, was how do we look at the human body and how do we break it down to where I can run any human being through it anywhere on the planet and get an accurate test result. So to understand the four body types, you have to understand your body in terms of vertebrae. There are 26 vertebrae. There are seven cervical, 12 thoracic, 5 lumbar, 1 sacrum, and 1 coccyx, right? And the body is structured via those vertebrae. We know that every vertebrae houses a specific set of muscles. We know that any part of the human body can be underdeveloped to whatever degree, including muscle and muscle mass. And if we have a specific muscle or set of muscles that are underdeveloped, that will directly affect the specific vertebrae that it's housed in, which will directly affect posture. And if we have skinny fat genetically in place of where we should have muscle and muscle mass, right now we have a direct effect on our metabolism, excuse me, because we know that muscle burns more calories than skinny fat and fat. So if we begin to look at all these variables, we begin to break down body type in terms of a body type 1 is a body type 1. It has all 26 vertebrae fully developed in terms of muscle and muscle mass, no less, pretty much everything. If you are a bi-type 2, you have 1 to 8 vertebrae that are underdeveloped. So you have skinny fat in place of where there should be muscle and muscle mass, and that affects your body shape and metabolism, et cetera. Bi-type 3 is 9 to 17. A bi-type 4 is 18 to 26 vertebrae underdeveloped to whatever degree. I was born in a bi-type 4. Excuse me. And so that's how we break things down. Now, when we run somebody through the actual quiz, we take a set of images, 3 specific images that we can look at your body, and we can see the angles. We can see all the actual vertebrae. We can get a very strong sense of muscle versus skinny fat, et cetera. We calculate that out relative to each vertebrae, and we break that down. And then once that's done, then we can identify your actual body type. I will also say that as a part of that quiz, we can also calculate out your science-based diet, exercise, and lifestyle. We've gone out, scoured the internet, pulled all the most current data, created our own equations, and we can run the diet, exercise, and lifestyle scores. So we can tell you in that scientific body type quiz, we can tell you what your scientific body type is, your genetic scientific body type. We can tell you what your diet, exercise, and lifestyle health scores are. In general, we only ask you so many questions because it's a relatively short quiz. But we can give you a sense of your body type, your diet, exercise, and lifestyle. And then we can also help you understand all the different diets and exercises and lifestyles out there that would help your body type as well as possible in terms of you managing it to be as healthy as possible.
Okay. So thank you for explaining that. And I like the fact that it's about health, not just about a specific appearance. You know, a lot of, to my point about the app and what I saw, so much of what is out there relates to your appearance. You do this and you're going to look like a supermodel. You'll do this and you look like your favorite celebrity. You drink that and you will miraculously grow, you know, like large muscles and lean, fine physique. And it's not exactly realistic, right? It's just really great marketing. And it also doesn't serve you because you have no clue sometimes what is involved in these concoctions that we're sometimes, you know, putting on our body and in our body. And I just want to say from the standpoint of your quiz, what you're basically sharing with us is that in theory, there are 4 different body types. I'm trying to summarize. 4 different body types. It's really based on genetics and DNA.
That's right.
It's not exactly environmental. We've been told for so many years that, you live in a cold place, so your body might have a certain shape or your skin tone might look a certain way. You might have a certain composition. And that's not true.
That will play into it. So again, it is genetics. So if you come from a certain part of the world where it's colder, right, then you may be more inclined, even as a bi type 1 with all the muscle and muscle mass fully developed, right, to have a slightly different body shape, right? So that definitely will play in. But diet, exercise, and lifestyle most certainly do influence your actual bi type. But if you're someone who is a body type 2 and you have skinny fat on your body, so think of somebody like Kim Kardashian. She's a body type 2. She has the famous sacrum vertebrae gene, we like to call it, where she's lacking muscle and muscle mass relative to her buttocks and upper thighs and upper back legs, right? And that's common in her family. If you look at all of her sisters, they all have that same genetic pattern. And there, so she can be down within her safe BMI weight range. And the shape of her body is likely going to be that shape no matter what. She's going to have skinny fat in those areas, even when she's within her safe BMI weight range. And that's just her genetics. So if she eats a poor diet, if she's sedentary and doesn't exercise, if she has other poor lifestyle habits, that can make it worse. It can make the excess fat gather more in those skinny fat areas. Whereas if she has a healthy diet, right, she can keep that to a bare minimum and be really thin. And you've seen as she's aged, because as you age, Take it from me and anyone else who has age. As you age, your metabolism gets less, right? And it's harder to keep the excess fat weight off. It becomes even more harder if you have skinny fat on your body where you should have muscle. Mm-hmm. And someone like her, right, that's the issue, is that that's her body type. And no matter how hard she works, especially as she ages, right, she's not going to be able to keep the excess fat weight off. The skinny fat's going to become more obvious. That's just how her body type is. And you probably know from your body type that, you know, you can lose weight and you can be healthy and be down within your safe BMI even. When I was, I didn't feel good. I didn't feel good when I was within my safe BMI. I actually felt better when I was closer to being in the moderate risk range in my BMI, because that was my actual body type. So body type is most definitely influenced by genetics, which is influenced by parts of the world, which is influenced by race and gender, et cetera, and diet, exercise, and lifestyle. So it's definitely not black and white. It is most certainly gray.
And that's a really good segue to where we want to talk just a little bit. We're talking about Kim Kardashian, interesting segue, but it's still about someone who's willing to take better care of themselves. You know, people could feel however they want to about her. There's tons of commentary. We'll leave that to the internet. However, when we're seeing someone who is really willing to do all that she can to take good care of herself, regardless, you see a lot of her content is still about self-care from within, from the exterior, a lot of working out and eating healthily. However, I also think that it's important because of the nature of our podcast to talk about like how you take care of yourself as a person. So outside of Mark being more concerned about, you know, what body type and how to serve that body type, like how does Mark take care of himself so he can continue his really great research?
Yeah. So, big fan of the Blue Zone Mediterranean diet. And after years upon years of trying every diet, everyone had a diet that would fix my skinny fat problems and none of them worked. I gave up on the idea that there was some magical diet that would, you know, be perfect for my body type and just stuck with what science knows. And we know that the Mediterranean diet has been around for a very long time, that people in the five Blue Zones across the world follow in general a typical rough version of the Mediterranean diet. It is the Mediterranean diet in Greece. That's one of the five Blue Zones. But science knows that, you know, vegetables, more vegetables, right, and clean food, right, and keeping the processed, the junk, the fast foods, the sugars, the alcohols, the cigarettes, keeping all that out of your diet, you know, especially the cigarettes and the sugar. And people don't want to hear that. That's one of the things that most people, that they get angry when I talk about their sugar. Now, yeah. They don't touch my sugar. The problem is that sugar is a drug. By definition, by every standard, sugar is a drug. And yet we don't look at it like we look at tobacco or alcohol or cannabis or even heroin or cocaine, right? And from my point of view, sugar is as bad as heroin and sugar is worse than heroin and cocaine because it's in everything, right? And it's just seen as this normal, oh no, it's just sugar. No. Sugar will destroy your liver, right? It will. No different than alcohol will destroy your liver. You want healthy skin and you want to age long and well, keep your liver healthy, right? So I stick with the science and what the science knows. And we know from the Blue Zone Mediterranean diet that, you know, the folks in that part of the world live into their hundreds. They are healthy. They aren't living into their 80s or 90s with the help of allopathic drugs, and they're all drugged up. And without their allopathic drugs, they would never make it to 80 or 90. They're living into their hundreds in a healthy way without drugs, without all this nonsense, because they're just eating a healthy diet. Right, they're staying away from all this nonsense that we in the West think is the greatest thing ever made, but it's garbage. Fast food is garbage. Processed food is garbage. Junk food is garbage. It's all garbage. And young people in general eat that for every meal, every day of their life. as if it's totally normal. And again, when I talk about any of this, I am a loser. I'm a square. I'm whatever the young people call me, because you're not taking away my sugar. You're not taking away my Mickey D's. You're not taking away any of the things that I love, yet they want to understand why they can't keep the weight off, right? If they're a body type 2, 3, or 4, they have more skinny fat. If they're eating all that junk food, right, they're going to watch the excess fat weight pile on, because that food is garbage. It has no new nutritional value. All it does is add excess fat to your body, right? If you're lucky enough to be a body type 1, you can get away with eating that food for a lot longer, because you have all this muscle on your body and it requires all this energy to burn daily. And so you can pretty much eat whatever you want and not gain any weight whatsoever. And all of us have friends like that who are a body type 1. They don't understand why. I'm telling you why now. They are most likely a body type 1. They have all the muscle on their body. They have a much higher metabolic rate, so they can eat whatever they want because they're burning through calories much faster than someone like me who has skinny fat all over my body. And if I eat fast food, the following day I've gained 5 pounds, right? And so that's not an exaggeration. I'll watch my weight fluctuate if I eat junk food, especially now, because it so negatively affects my metabolic rate. So am I making any sense here?
No, you're making a lot of sense, especially as people are learning more about what are the triggers for their body. A lot of the times you tell yourself now, oh, it's inflammation, right? I eat X food, I become inflamed. But some of it might genuinely have to be with like understanding your body type and not just trying to label it as everything else. There might not be an allergy. There may be, but they also might just be that your body reacts to things differently. It's not a one size fits all.
That is most certainly gray, and inflammation is most certainly a real thing. Mm-hmm. But I would say that, you know, there are certain foods that cause inflammation, and I just avoid those foods always. Because I think that in general, there are certain foods that they're just not good for your body. You should avoid them. I, as a scientist, I stopped eating junk, fast and processed food way back in my early 20s. And I remember when I first stopped doing that, all my friends in college thought I was absolutely off my rocker. They thought I was nuts. And when I went out into the world and I would go to a restaurant and I'd ask for, you know, a chicken breast with some veggies, but no cheese on it, they'd be like, the cheese is the best part. And I was like, yeah, but the cheese is also what adds fat to my body, et cetera. And I just knew my body well. But that's really what this is all about, is you got to get to know your body, right? You have to understand your genetic scientific body type, how its uniqueness, what diet, exercise, and lifestyle works best for you. And the only way that you're going to figure that out is to try it, see how your body reacts, right? And really begin to understand. So here are a few keys that folks can follow if they're trying a new diet and they want to understand, is this diet good for my body or not? 1, do you feel good after you eat? And that's a tough one, because a lot of people are like, I go to McDonald's and a half hour after eating, I feel fantastic. But then 3 hours later, I have no energy and I feel terrible, and yada, yada. So you have to judge that, you know, honestly. You have to give it time and see, you know, what I mean when I say, do you feel good after, is, you know, 12 hours, 24 hours, do you feel good after each meal that you're actually eating? The more acute things that you can pay attention to are, does it make your stomach upset? Is it pissing off your stomach bacteria, basically? Because it's those stomach bacteria that are digesting your food, and really it's your immunity. It is the brain-gut connection, excuse me. It's just, there's so many things about what you're eating in your food that if you're paying attention when you eat it, you will notice, you know, how does my gut feel? How does my head feel? Do I break out on my face? Everyone should go online and do a search for the a human body meridian map and start to learn the meridians on your body. And if you are breaking out on certain areas on your face, you know, on your back, etc., understand what is that actual meridian, excuse me, and what did I eat that caused that? How can I change that? And I realize that all this is a lot of work. And a lot of people just are like, I don't want to do all that work. But if you want to manage your weight successfully, then you're going to have to put the actual work in. There is no magic pill. There is no quick fix. And everyone, they get mad at me when I say this, and then they run off to whatever TikTok video tells them exactly what they want to hear. And that video goes viral, and most people stop listening to me when they find out that diet, exercise, and lifestyle, that health in general, is work. Is that making sense?
I think it makes perfect sense. You know, a lot of the conversations we have on the podcast do not center around body type. However, everyone that we speak to, whether it is building an app to, you know, building a healthier lifestyle to, I don't know, having a healthier skin, it all boils down to work and you putting in the work so you can get the result. You know, and what's a better investment than your own health, your own body, so you can have that longevity. So this conversation will be a thing of just like, oh, you know, a key part of your past compared to it being something that you remember because afterward things went downhill.
That's right. And all that we really have is our health, right? It's one thing that you should put the most work into, right? You should spend the extra money on healthy food, yada, yada. And that's a whole nother conversation that we can have. But your health is all you really have. Please manage it and maintain it well.
And with that, Mark, I just want to say thank you so, so much for being on today. This has been eye-opening for me and hopefully for everyone else who will be watching and tuning in to this episode. Before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to leave with the audience or any information where we could follow you?
Yeah, please go up to fellowone.com and check out our genetic scientific body type quiz. There's also the scientific weight loss program diary. And we have our celebrity body types. We have all of our body type science up there. So you can go up and see, you know, just regular people who have taken the scientific body type quiz. When you take that quiz, one of the things that I forgot to actually mention was you don't have to show your face in the photos. You can use a pen name so you can maintain complete anonymity on it. And so that you're safe and it's not about your looks. It's not about any of that. It's just about understanding your body type and how healthy you currently are, and all the options that you have to improve your body type and your health.
And with that, Mark, I just want to, again, thank you so much. I want to leave everyone with just a little anecdote. Today's episode was really to help myself and also anyone else who wants to learn about a new way to look at one's body and hopefully try to seek health. This is not about the number on the scale. It is not about the BMI that your doctor or you, you know, use the calculator. This is not about trying to fit into the mold of what beauty is, or whatever that standard that we're trying to achieve. Today, our focus is health, and we're hoping that this episode will bring you closer to going out there, doing that research, putting in that little or a lot of work. But just know that we believe in you. We think that you're worth it. And we're hopefully you'll have some of the tools that you need to move forward on your health journey. So thank you everyone for listening. This is another episode of Finding Your Realm. I'm your host, Jamila Pipersburg. And Mark, thank you.
Thanks for having me.